Well, hey, welcome to HFCN, and if you are new or visiting with us today, we are so glad you're here. Church family, let's welcome our guests this morning. Thank you for showing up. You're the most important ones in the room today. I hope you know that. I hope you feel that this morning. Well, last Sunday, if you missed out, I just want to tell you that we had some incredible times of baptism last Sunday evening. We were able to baptize 27 people. All generations, all ages, and that, we just say praise the Lord for that. We celebrate what God is doing, that He is changing lives here among us, and I'm telling you, if you weren't here, it's okay, but I just want to let you know, I don't know what Pentecost felt like, but we almost ran out of daylight. It was a good thing, you know? It was like, I don't know how they did this, but it was awesome, and we just celebrate with you, those that were baptized and those that gathered around them. We want you to know what's going on this week in the life of our church. Of course, you can check out abeaconofhope.org, social media, other places to know what's going on in the life of our church. But thanks for staying connected and involved in what's going on here. We want you to know that church elections are happening today. If you voted last week, you don't need to vote again. But we were doing this 2 weeks in a row to make sure as many members as possible can come and help us elect our leadership, our church board for the next year. So thanks for stopping by and doing that. We also want to make sure you're aware of other things going on in the life of our church. We have World Help. The Children of the World Choir are coming June 3rd. You're going to want to be here for that. This is one of the most incredible Sundays we get to be a part of. But we need host families. So some of you have served in that way in the past. There's a little bit of a process of going through to do that. But if you're interested in opening up your home to a couple kids that weekend, contact Pastor Joe. His information is on the screen. We're really excited that Pizza with the Pastors is coming up next Sunday. So you're relatively new to the church, or maybe you're not new, but you're not really connected to our leadership, to our pastors. We would love the opportunity to just share a meal with you and a little bit more information about who we are and just get to know you a little bit. We do need to know that you're coming so we can plan enough pizza. So if you would, you can register online or as the worship attendance pad, it passes by. If you just put Pizza with the Pastors, we would love for you to come and join us. It'll be a great Sunday where we get to connect with you a little bit better. Finally, we want to make sure that you know about our Spiritual Renew Weekend. It's coming up this weekend, first weekend in May. We have these invite cards available at the desk, events Friday night, Saturday morning, and then, of course, our Sunday morning worship services. I would encourage you, along with lunch stuff, just find an opportunity to come and get connected. You may not be able to be here every opportunity, but find one opportunity and connect. I know that you'll want to be a part. Great messages, and we're really excited for Jason Tuggle and his band to be back. If you remember them last year, it was an incredible opportunity, a time of worship. So I promise you, if you come, you will not regret it. Our ushers are going to help us now get into place as we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings. And as we do that, those worship attendance pads located at the end of your row, yeah, we're going to pass those down the row now. Hey, you might want to come to Pizza with the Pastors. You might want to be baptized. You might say, man, I should have been there last Sunday. We would love for you, if you just fill that out, we'll get information to you. This isn't just about us getting information from you. You can get information to us. And so thanks for just taking a minute and passing that down the road. We really do value that information. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Hey, if you're a part of giving at HFCN, we celebrate the fruit that's being produced in the church and beyond. And you're a part of that. Do you know that? That when you give and you support HFCN, you're a part of what God's doing. And we are so grateful for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. In just a minute, the ushers are going to receive the offering. But before they do, many of you are aware that in the life of our church, it's been a little bit of a weird week. On this past Monday, our pastor of 24 years, Pastor Kerry Willis, was elected as a district superintendent in the Philadelphia District Church of Nazarene. And we thought that we would have plenty of time to share that news with you, but it was apparent by about an hour after that happened that the word was getting out. So we spread the word as best we could through social media and through church email, but some of you, if you would like a more official letter, we have them available at the information desk from Pastor Kerry sharing this news. He is away speaking at a revival and will be back with us next Sunday to share in more detail. But in his absence today, as the offering's being received in just a moment, he wanted to share a few words with you, his church. And so thanks in advance for your prayers for us as a church, for him, and we look forward to him being back with us next Sunday. But as the ushers receive the offering this morning, let's hear a few words from our pastor, Pastor Kerry Willis. Thank you, ushers.
Good morning. On a week that has left me pretty speechless, I still wanted to say a few words to you this morning in light of my absence. I know you've heard by now, hopefully, that Monday, some pretty big changes took place in our life. Kim and I have been on a journey with the Lord, a spiritual journey, since February, the first week of February, when the Lord began to speak to my heart and ask me some questions about my willingness to live the surrendered life in a new way, and would I walk through open doors until or unless He closed them. Well, you know that I love Jesus, and He is my life. I have no life of my own anymore, and that's good. Paul said, I no longer live, yet Christ now lives in me. And so Kim and I have been praying and talking with the Lord and listening for His voice and looking at open doors, and He did not close one. He kept them open. And so we are really indebted to Him for our lives and for forever. And I don't think that's any surprise to anyone. But still, it is a season of heartbroken joy. That's the best way that I can explain it. And next Sunday, I'll begin a series on holiness that I plan to preach through the month of May. I hope you'll join me, and we can comfort each other with the words of the Lord. And next Sunday, May 6th, I will share some of the details of the journey Kim and I have been on to try to put it in a little better perspective for you, the church that we love. Harrisonburg, the only church that I've ever pastored, looks like the only church I will ever pastor. And so the Lord pointed with His nail-scarred hand toward Philadelphia, and honestly, all we could say was, yes, Lord, yes. I know that there may be questions, and I hope to answer all those. I've answered a lot this week, and I'm so grateful for the correspondence, the emails, the texts, the voicemails, the phone calls, the one-on-one conversations, and I'll be very transparent and vulnerable with you. And I believe after 24 years of serving God and serving you, loving the church and loving you, that you already probably understand what God is up to better than I do, perhaps. But we want you to know that we still believe the future is always preferred. And if God had a new plan for the pastor and his wife, He has a new plan for the local church. And by new, what I mean is delightful. We can trust Him. We can trust the one who would rather die for us than live forever without us. And so let's stick close together, let the love flow, let the unity be bonded, and let us seek the perfect will of God. He's already been working on this plan. I think it's been very obvious, but now He will bring it to fruition. I want you to know that you are deeply loved by me and by Kim, and I pray that you will continue to pray for us as we pray for you. I'll leave you with my favorite word of the year, Maranatha. Yes, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. Bye now.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Today we're going to be talking about compassion. So I was thinking about that. I thought about in my life, when was the first time that I ever experienced compassion? And I think I've shared this story before. I won't share it in detail this morning, but my oldest brother was in a farming accident when I was about 4. And it was quite traumatizing. I had seen the accident, and my mom had headed into the house to get ready to go to the hospital. I don't think my dad ever came in the house. He stayed with my brother the entire time. And as myself and the next two siblings to me were left kind of traumatized in the fetal position in the house, I remember the ambulance, the siren fading into the distance. And then it was gone, and everything was silent, and I was scared to death. That was the moment in my life that compassion showed up. The door opened, and neighbors and family and friends began to make their way into our home. And I'll never forget that night, what that felt like to have people around us after that time of just feeling so alone. Maybe you can think of a time when you experienced compassion. Maybe it was when you were young. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was this morning. Compassion is a powerful word. It goes deeper than showing sympathy for a person's pain. Compassion is action. Compassion moves. It doesn't stand still. It doesn't ignore the problem, and it surely doesn't run away from someone in need. Yes, compassion drives us to action. But where does it come from? Why do we have this compassion? And as I was thinking about today, and a couple of weeks ago, the Lord gave this to me for today. And there's a story in Scripture in the Old Testament that I absolutely love. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories. And I want to share that with you this morning. And I'm going to give you a broad overview. It is found, it's the story of King Josiah, and it's found in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, and in 2 Kings 22 and 23. And I've kind of taken some things from both of those passages and knit them together to get a clearer picture of what I want to share with you this morning. They both had good things to share, and I was not reading all that scripture this morning. So I'm going to share with you now. Josiah began ruling over Judah when he was 8 years old. He did what the Lord considered right. He lived in the ways of his ancestor David and never stopped living this way. In the 8th year of his reign, he began to dedicate his life to serving the God of his ancestor David. In the 12th year as king, he began to make Judah and Jerusalem clean by destroying the illegal places of worship, poles dedicated to the goddess Asherah, carved idols, and metal idols. He had the altars of various Baal gods torn down. He cut down the incense altars that were above them. So he made Judah and Jerusalem clean. He did this throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year, he began to make the temple clean. Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given to Moses. And Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. So the priest Hilkiah and others went to talk to the prophetess Huldah. She told them, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Tell the man who sent you to me. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and on the people living here according to everything written in the book that the king of Judah has read. I will do this because they have abandoned me and sacrificed to other gods in order to make me furious. Therefore, my burning anger directed at this place will never be extinguished." Huldah added, "But tell Judah's king who sent you to me to ask the Lord a question. This is what the Lord God of Israel says about the word you heard. You had a change of heart, and you humbled yourself in front of the Lord when you heard my words against this place and those who live here. I have said that those who live here will be destroyed and cursed. You tore your clothes in distress and cried out in front of me. So I will listen, declares the Lord. That is why I'm going to bring you to your ancestors. I'm going to bring you to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see any of the disaster that I'm going to bring to this place." Then the king instructed Hilkiah the high priest and those in charge to remove from the Lord's temple all the articles that were used to worship Baal, Asherah, and all the powers of the heavens. The king had all these things burned outside Jerusalem on the terrace of the Kidron Valley, and he carried the ashes away to Bethel. Moving further in the story, the king ordered all the people to celebrate the Passover for the Lord their God, as it is written in the Book of Promise. The Passover had never been celebrated like this during the time of the judges who governed Israel or during the entire time of the kings of Israel and Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah's reign, this Passover was celebrated in Jerusalem for the Lord. Josiah got rid of all the mediums, psychics, family idols, other idols, and disgusting gods that could be seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem. He did this to confirm the words of the teaching written in the book the priest Hilkiah found in the Lord's temple. No king before Josiah had turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and strength as directed by Moses' teaching. No other king was like Josiah. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord. The Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel. None of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated such a Passover as Josiah did. With the priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel were there with the people of Jerusalem. And just to share a little bit about the Passover. We just heard that there had not been a Passover like the one that he had planned in his day. As I went back and I counted up what that looked like, he had 43,000 animals for that sacrifice. 33,000 of them were from his own personal herds. That's a lot of sacrifice, isn't it? But let's back up in the story. Did you see God's heart move for Josiah? God's heart moved on Josiah's behalf. And when we look at compassion, the definition in Webster says this: sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Sympathetic consciousness of another's distress together with a desire to alleviate it. The first point I would like to make is this: God is the God of compassion. We see God move with compassion on his people. What moved his heart? What moved the heart of God to change his mind, to bring some comfort to King Josiah? You have to understand, King Josiah is a young man. This started when he was 8. Let's go back to the words that the Lord gave the prophetess Huldah for King Josiah. "You had a change of heart and humbled yourself in front of the Lord when you heard my words against this place and those who live here. I had said that those who live here would be destroyed and cursed. You also tore your clothes in distress and cried out in front of me. So I will listen to you, declares the Lord." We serve a God of compassion. He looks for those who have had a change of heart and humble themselves in repentance. He moves on their behalf. He isn't impressed when we put on airs. He is moved by a humble heart. Josiah, in those moments of learning what God said, he repented. He tore his clothes. And he got a glimpse of the heart of God. It drove him to action. God's compassion now in Josiah. Suddenly, while seeking the God of his ancestor David, he had a divine encounter with the Lord and it changed him. King Josiah experienced God's compassion. And he was driven out of a grateful heart into action because of what the Lord had done for him. God is certainly moved with compassion. Just as he knew where Josiah was that day, he has certainly not lost sight of any of us. He knows where we are today, and he cares deeply. I want to share a picture with you that was taken a few years back. It's a picture looking from over at the Garden of Gethsemane over towards the old city of Jerusalem. In 2009, when I went to Israel, I was standing about where this picture was taken. And when you're standing in the geography of it all, and scripture starts coming to your mind, and you're like, wait a minute, is this what that means? And you begin to, your brain's on fire. And I was having one of those moments. And I was thinking about all the animals that were sacrificed. We had just been to Bethlehem, and that's where a lot of the sheep were raised for the animal sacrifice. And so this was on my mind. And King Josiah had had the largest Passover since the days of Samuel. And 40,000, that's just a lot. And I'm a farm girl, and my brain just went a certain route. And I'm thinking, that was a lot of blood. The sacrifice. Thinking about that. The blood of the sacrifice. Where did it go? That had to be messy. I mean, we butchered when I was growing up. We still butcher. And so, yep, that's just where my brain went. So, as we think about the blood, I started having this thought, like, is it possible, this thought that I'm having about the Kidron Valley that runs down. So here is about in this area would have been where they did the temple sacrifice. And then I look at the lay of the land. And I'm like, did it just run down through here? And I did some study back then, and I really didn't find anything that really satisfied me the way I wanted to really understand it, because I didn't want to just put this into the story. But I found that there was a spring that actually came into the temple where the sacrifice was, and it washed the blood away. And I'll read this part to you. Where does all the water and blood go? You may have already guessed. It was drained from the altar area and carried away to the Kidron Valley, just outside the Temple Mount walls. In fact, Kidron means black brook or gloomy brook, perhaps named so because of its blood-stained riverbed and banks. For those of you who are familiar with Christ's death, does that bring a scripture to your mind? The scripture, John 19:34. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. And we have a picture, a shadow, a foreshadow of Christ in this story as they did this sacrifice. And the water and the blood flowed down through the Kidron Valley. And if you remember, King Josiah took everything out into the Kidron Valley and he burned it. And then he had the Passover. The blood of the sacrifice in the Old Testament, if we look, we can see a shadow of things to come. Out of compassion for you and I, Jesus became our Passover lamb. Yes, Jesus was moved with compassion. He left heaven and came to earth to become the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. We see the foreshadowing of the blood of the temple sacrifice literally covering the sin, just as Jesus did for you and me. He took on flesh and entered this world to make his way to the cross. And on the way to the cross, he gave us a model to live by. He showed us how to love the lonely, to love the broken and the poor and the needy. And if you really want to know how he feels about us, how we should live in this world, you can read the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, Jesus was moved with compassion to do the will of his heavenly Father so that the chains of sin could be broken so we could wholly live, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And live holy, H-O-L-Y. Yes, Jesus was moved with compassion to do the will of his heavenly Father so that the chains of sin could be broken, so we could wholly live and live holy. There isn't anything that the blood of Christ can't cover. One time, I was pretty sure that it couldn't cover my sin. But he showed me that I was forgiven. And there is hope for the one feeling most hopeless today. I want you to know there is hope. As long as we have breath, there is hope. When we accept Jesus as our Lord, we get all of him. But when we surrender our hearts, our everything, he gets all of us. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he spoke to the disciples. In John 14:26, he told them, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. Will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." When he ascended to heaven, we can read the story in Acts of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came just like he promised. We see the Holy Spirit compassionately, fully inhabiting the people of God, the believers, you and I. The temple in King Josiah's day was a foreshadowing of us becoming the temple in which the Lord dwells by the power of the Holy Spirit. The more he can flow through us in mercy and compassion to the world around us, the more we surrender what we want, the more room there is for the Holy Spirit, the more He can flow through us in mercy, compassion, and love to the world around us. He can give us love and compassion that will surprise us if we ask Him. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, just give me the want to want to. And He answers that very heartfelt prayer. It's not for us, it's for His glory and for His honor. Today, as we look inward, if He shows us that we have detestable things in our lives, because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, this was a foreshadowing of Him coming and taking up residence in our lives. If He shows us that we still have detestable things in our lives, let's ask Him to clean up the temples that we live in, to give us strength to walk away from the snares that so easily entangle us. My family is doing a spring cleaning day this week for my mom and dad. We'll go through every part of their home and we'll clean it from top to bottom. The other day I went up to do the clean before you clean. I went through the pantry and the kitchen. And it was really hard for mom to sit and let us do that for her. It's kind of an invasion. But you know what? I didn't find anything in that cleaning except some spices from when I was a kid and my thermos. I did not find anything that would incriminate her or lead me to believe that there was anything impure in her life. I wonder how hard it would be for us to let someone go through our home, our phone, our computer. What would be found? And as you think about that today, I pray, and I think about that, I pray that we will have the courage of Josiah to remove anything that doesn't bring God glory. Let's make space for God's compassion to flow in and through our hearts. There had never been a king like Josiah that just went with all of his heart, who went to the Lord, turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and strength. God was so in the details of all of that. And He gives us these signs where we can look back and see that foreshadowing. That lets us know how much in the details of things that He is. Not just then, but now. And it's why we have peace that passes all understanding, because God's not up there wringing His hands wondering what to do. He's in control. In the last 3 weeks, we've had three messages. Pastor Adrian preached, "We are Christian." Pastor Carrie, "We are holiness." Pastor Sam, "We are missional." Because of this, we are called to be God's compassionate people. Pastor Sam talked a little bit last week about when we walk into a room, because of who lives in us, the atmosphere in the room should change for the better. When Josiah walked into the temple, the atmosphere changed because of the compassion of God in him. And just as I was a little girl scared to death, God's compassion rose up in those that showed up in my life. As we make space, let's see what God might do in our life as we share His love and compassion, as we make space. There are things I think that we spend, and I know this about me and I'm praying about it. I spend time doing things that have no kingdom value. Eternity will not be changed with some of the things. And social media is a huge, you all understand? We do not want to miss all the good parts of everybody's life. We don't know what's really going on, but we know the good stuff, right? I'm guilty of that. But I wonder if we would just ask the Lord to show us what we need to alleviate from our life so that we could make space to be His love and compassion to the world around us. Maybe this week you'll have a divine appointment that don't seem to fit in your schedule. I just want to say it might be scheduled by God. So be aware this week. He might give us some opportunities to be compassionate in ways that we don't even realize that we could be because we've never trusted Him to step there. We have a couple of ways that we can respond this morning. Pastor Joe is going to come and lead us in a song this morning that will just be our response that way. But we're also, if the ushers could come forward, we're going to receive an offering this morning for our benevolence fund. This is something that we do to mainly to help folks within our congregation who maybe have hit a rough patch financially. We've been able to help so many people throughout the year. And it goes for things such as rent, utilities, and in other ways, but those are the main ways that we use these funds, very prayerfully. You can also go online, HFC, and give. Include benevolence in the message area. That's what I did before I came up here, so I forgot my checkbook. So this is a way that we can today really reach out in compassion and help those around us. The folks sitting in here that have received this, and it's come at a time that meant so much. And as the plates pass today and we begin to worship, let's just respond with our worship, and the Lord will be faithful to each one of us. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come before you today so grateful that you have shown us that compassion is born in you, is extended to us. And God, you have called us as your people, saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, who became the Passover lamb, that we might be brought in to the kingdom of God, that we would become your children, adopted in. Lord, thank you today that you have made a way for us, that you're the God of compassion and Jesus is so moved with compassion to become our sacrifice, but that the Holy Spirit would come and compassionately fill us and give us the desire to want to help others, to be your love and your mercy and your kindness in this world, in our homes, where we work, in our church, in our neighborhoods, and in our world. Lord, thank you that we can see that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you will make a way for each one of us as we lay our heart before you. You will fill it with your desire, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you walk into the room and everything changes, darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. That you bring, and when you walk into the room, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough, and all this is for you, Jesus. God, all we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. So come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
Say congratulations to our team quizzers. I think we have a picture of them. Yes. First place. If you see any of these guys and gals, give them a high five. Today, there will be someone at the well, right across from the cafe. If you would like to have prayer, maybe you have something going on in your life that you just need someone to enter into prayer with you, there will be someone there for that today. If you are a visitor, there, right straight back in the back of the room under the Holiness Unto the Lord sign, there is someone that wants to greet you if this is your first visit, and some information that might help you know a little bit more about us. Tomorrow we have Celebrate Recovery. Dinner at 6, large group in here at 6:30, and break into small groups at 7:30. This is for anyone who has a hurt, hang up, or a habit, and maybe the Lord's even speaking to you today. This is a place to come and walk with others, such as myself, who God has just used this ministry in a great way to help me heal. And then just a reminder of Anchored, that's happening this weekend. There are cards at the front desk if you have interest in being here this weekend. All the information is on that. And a scripture, just to close us out today, from the Message paraphrase, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as your Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. This is all about the ministry of presence that we talk about around here, Christ in us, the great hope of glory, that we don't just keep for ourselves, but we extend it to the world around us. And as you go this week, I pray that the peace of God will be in you and the compassion of God will flow through you. Go in peace.